Here with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
I have an announcement here.
All right.
Join Sangha for our next virtual Zen Cooks Vegetarian Cooking Workshop on Sunday, July 26th to explore the preparation of tasty Indian dishes and cooking techniques. Sign up by Friday, July 24th. And for this and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
So, Michael, how are you?
What's that?
How are you? You know,
I've been identified.
You know what? I intuited that. Do you
That's
know how?
You're the teacher and I'm the student.
Well, but it's very specific.
Tell me.
Yeah. Well, instead of an exchange of how we're doing and what's going on and that sort of thing, it's just I have announcements. So I intuited,
yeah.
I think Michael might have been identified recently. See how I did that?
Yeah.
Do you remember that? It's my favorite identification story. So we're on retreat at the monastery, and it was back way back before we had any buildings. So we just had an open pavilion that, you know this story, but there are people listening who haven't heard this, and it's a good one.
Yeah.
And so there's just an open, you know, a deck, and people are sitting on the deck, and they're all sitting there, and I come down and I ask them to turn around and face me, and they're about 16 people there or something like that, and they all turned around, and I said, wow, I can see that three of you are pretty much here, and about 13 of you are seriously identified, and they all looked at me like I was just totally magic. Right? Oh my God, she really is probably the devil. And then I explained to them how easy it was, because the ones that were there were sitting up straight, and they were engaged, and they were ready for a group, and they were right. And the others were head down, eyes down, shoulders slumped. You know, I mean, it didn't take any kind of a great intuitive skill at all to sense that. So that's just, you know, that's one of the, revealing one of the tricks of the trade. So the next time, you know, that kind of magic happens, you go, you know, I could be giving signals here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. You want to talk about being identified, or have we talked about it enough?
Well, I'm resisting the resistance, and there's a lot of something wrong, and I notice it's spread from sort of the familiar identification content to other directions, so that's good to see that it's a process.
So watching that, as we've been talking about it a lot lately on the year long, you're seeing a pattern, right?
Yes.
It's a familiar pattern, and now you're starting to see, ooh, it's not just there about that with them. Ooh, it's over there too. Oh, and now I'm seeing it there. Ooh, it could be, I think there's a continuity here that might be really important to not believe, but to attend to.
Yes. And I've somehow been missing that piece of not believing it. There's like an intellectual understanding that I know what's going on, but if I knew what was going on, then I wouldn't be identified.
Yes.
I still was. So
well, and that's very subtle.
Humbling.
That's very subtle. Very subtle, isn't it? Because it you know, so the voice says, but Michael, you know what's going on. And immediately, until this conversation, right, I'm betting that there were a lot of occasions on which the reaction was, oh, God, yes, I do know. You know, I'm identified. And then it just quickly, we go right into feeling bad because I know I'm identified. I know better. And yet I'm identified. Here I am. Oh, God. Right. And we miss that key piece there where it's possible to say, oh, identified. Yeah. Oh, that's, oh, with what? Let me talk to the guy who is feeling the identification. Maybe he's struggling with something. Maybe I can help.
Yes, yes. And it just feels incredibly sticky, which apparently is a good thing. You know, apparently when I'm drowning, I'm very close to learning how to swim. And yet I still seem stuck at times, which is a good reason to go on retreat next week.
Yes, or a good reason, as was just suggested, to ask him about it, to talk to him, you know, to stop right there and do a little interviewing. You know, every time that stickiness comes up, that's my best opportunity to find out about stickiness, not to leave the guy stuck there, right? Because, if you're hanging by your fingernails from a cliff, and somebody comes by and says, wow, hanging by your fingernails, huh? And just keeps walking. That doesn't feel good, right? We want the person who notices that we're struggling to stop and say, here, let me help.
Yes.
Yeah, because then we're not alone. Yes. And the thing about it is, you know, it feels sticky and stuck because I'm alone in an identification, right? I mean, it's not going to get any different or better until I'm able to step out of that and into conscious compassionate awareness, see that aspect of the personality there, and that's enough for me. But for the person who's been stuck there, then from that place, we can really generously offer any support and assistance that the person needs. Because we're not stuck. We're not in that identification any longer.
Hmm.
Does that all hang together?
Let me see. So you're saying that if there's enough conscious compassionate awareness there to see the guy who's stuck clearly, then I can offer assistance?
That's exactly right, because you're not him. And that's the whole secret, right? He is an aspect of the personality. You think that you're him. That's the name of the game. That's what we're meant to do, right? We're meant to believe that we are the person, underline that, who is stuck. And so then we're just stuck. We're just trapped there, kind of waiting for some kind of miracle to happen and get us out of it.
Yes.
Right? And pop out of it. Something will come along and pop me out of this. Well, often, of course, what I pop out into is another identification. But there's such a relief of being out of that one that I don't notice that I've just, you know, done the old frying pan to the fire trick. Because there's a relief in not being that any longer. And so, of course, what we really want to do is come back to conscious compassion awareness, which is what you actually are. And from that place, his suffering and struggling isn't a problem for you. You know, if you're going down the street and you happen to be a nice guy, which I know, and you see somebody who, you know, maybe has just fallen down, or maybe you see somebody who is clearly having a hard time, is really hungry, is asking if you could get him some food, you know, it doesn't take anything from you to help that person. In fact, because of who you are, conscious compassionate awareness, it feels really good to be able to help somebody. Mm. It reinforces our goodness, right? We come away from something like that a little more convinced of what we authentically are, right? Because we feel like ourselves in that place of being present and being kind and being helpful. And that's what we're learning to do with, in quote, ourself or ourselves. Yeah? Same process, same exact process. And of course, we also know the one where I'm identified in a stuck, sticky place, whatever the content of that is, and somebody is having a hard time, and I don't give a flying fig, right? Yeah, you're having a hard time, so am I, right? I don't care. And we know that place that people get into, but it's simply because, right, because they're identified with that stuck, struggling, kind of victimized personality, and they don't have any ability to be helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, just like if one of your boys, got into a sticky, stuck place and said, Dad, can I talk to you about this? You're not going to say, I'm sorry, you just need to stay stuck there until something pops you out of it. And then when it does, you'll be okay. You say, of course we can talk about it. Absolutely. What's going on? And that's all that stuck aspect of the personality wants, is somebody just to stop and say, tell me about it. Tell me about what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. It feels like I can do it for anyone else.
That's
except
right.
Myself.
That's right. That's right. And that's an aspect of in quotes, taking ourself personally, right? Mm-hmm. Really believing that I am that personality, right? Now, the trick there is when you help someone else, you're not that personality. You actually disidentify from that personality and move into center. And that's kind of the heart and soul of awareness practice, that we are willing to do for ourselves, we would always be willing to do for somebody else, even for somebody we don't know, even for somebody we don't particularly like. Yeah? And so you can see the, you know, I don't think evil is too strong a word, for that kind of grip that says, okay, great, you be that for everybody else, but not you. You're going to stay right here with me, and you're going to suffer because that's what you deserve.
Yeah.
I mean, it probably doesn't say that to you, but that's what it comes down to. You're unworthy.
Yeah.
You don't deserve it. You haven't earned it.
Yeah. You haven't earned it? Is that what you said?
Yeah. And if you think you have, it's going to give you a list of all your failures until you're absolutely convinced that you don't deserve it.
Yeah. Are you saying, like, I don't believe that I'm worthy of freedom?
Yep. And unconditional love and understanding and compassion, loving kindness, support, help, caring. All the things that you would give to somebody else in a second, but not Michael.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and one thing that sustains me is that I've always come out of it with practice.
Yeah. That's right. But here's the deal. You don't want to count on that. You really don't want to count on that. Because, and again, you've heard me talk about this any number of times. You know, the science tells us, even though people get really upset with their relatives in this situation or friends, you know, if you're addicted, if it's alcohol or drugs or whatever it is, there's a certain point beyond which you are without choice. You can't. You've gone along with it for so long that you've lost the, it's kind of like losing fitness. You know, I sat around in my Barco lounger until my muscles are gone. You know, I can't. It would be too far to come back. And we don't want to take that chance with awareness practice, right? That assuming that I'll get through it. It'll come. I'll pop out. We don't want to do that, because what we're doing is leaving somebody there in a state of suffering until some external force, whatever that is, gets them out of it. And we don't want to take a chance. Well, first of all, we don't want to waste our life that way, because you could be happy. you could be living from who you really are in all that time instead of waiting to be popped out of it. And in addition, you don't want to leave this plane of existence in that state of unfulfillmentness, whatever that would mm-hmm. be. Yeah, we want to be, big reason we want to be centered in every moment is we want to be in unconditional love, loving kindness and compassion at the moment of death, at the moment of any big crisis. We want to be here, eyes wide open, hearts full of love. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the other thing I noticed too, is that like in times of crisis, there's no problem. There's no question. It's the day-to-day when things are going fine, going well even, that I find much harder.
Yep. Yes. Because, again, disgusting as it is to consider, we have been a crop, a meal for ego for a very long time. And it's that maintenance stage of life where it feeds most regularly and contentedly, right? So as you say, when it's a big deal, we can disidentify, we can get here. But when it's just that's when it's okay to complain and grouse and grumble and be dissatisfied and unhappy and feel sorry for ourselves and of course, you know, it can feel, when we're identified in that way, it can sort of feel good, you know, because it's really true. I mean, this is wrong and that's wrong and he said that and she did that. And, you know, there's a lot to complain about, right? And if we just stop and realize, actually, all I'm doing is popping little gumdrops in the mouth of ego with every time I go along with that, we can say, you know what? Again, I don't want to waste my life that way. I could be happy. I want to be happy. This is like, I'm never going to be here again. This is never going to happen again. Right? Even people who believe in reincarnation say, yeah, but it's not going to be you. Somebody may come back, but it's not going to be you. So this is it for us. And that really is our choice. We can waste it, giving it to ego, feeding ego, Or we could be here and have our life. Enjoy it. Be grateful for it. Appreciate it. Have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to do some interviewing tonight, aren't you? Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. Yeah. And I have been doing some interviewing. And, it's like the intellectual understanding is crystal clear. And then, it's worth nothing.
That's right. I know all about swimming. You know, I've watched 1,000 YouTube videos. I've read everything that there is. I know everything about swimming. I'm not going to get in the water. You know, you can die. Yeah, it's not worth squat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for the fervorino.
Pleasure.
And back to our reminders. If you'd like to get in the queue tonight to talk with Sherry, please press *6 and then 1 to make guest show. And a conversation on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes is fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go, Sherry.
All right, thanks, Michael.
Thank you. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Stephanie calling from San Francisco.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi. It's been a minute. Ego wants me to hang up. I've been holding on by my fingernails not to hang up, but I'm here anyway. I just got laid off, so there's that to start with. Yeah, so I'm kind of shocked, I guess.
You're what? I'm having a little, you're a little breaky-uppy, Stephanie. So say that one again.
I'm a little shocked. I'm a little stunned.
It's out of the blue. You didn't have a clue?
I had a little bit of a clue. I was preparing, but I was still surprised.
Yeah.
And I'm so resilient that I think I can face this. But with that last conversation, as much as I could hear, because I was nervous.
Well, it's recorded, so it's always available.
Yes, because I know it was good, what I could hear. It was good.
Good.
So there's that, and I'm emotional about calling and all that kind of stuff. But that's not exactly what I wanted to talk about. Just happens to be present, so I'm breaking the rules, and I have another topic, which is, do you know how ego loves having a health concern? Just eats it up. Just wants the drama. It's singing. It's dancing. I got this. Woohoo! And I can feel this going on. Not right? You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, it's drama.
Yeah. And so I have this health concern that it could go in maybe not the best direction. So there's an aspect like, okay, I don't want this. Okay, let's just say the drama, it's a brain tumor. But I don't think it's terrible. And it all, so there's part of me that wants to say, okay, don't grow. How can I make this not grow? Do I have the power to say, don't grow? And yet, ego is singing and dancing and wants it to grow because of the drama.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, I know exactly what you mean. And it's very much our previous conversation. It's kind of, truth be told, every conversation that we have. Because what you're pointing at is having an up-close and personal look at how much egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate wants the suffering that it might be able to drag you into. Right, because that's what it feeds off of. It is, you know this. It is an illusion. It's a figment that appears to be outside of life, separate from life, not life. Right, and so it is always no to life's yes. That's just what it's doing, and it feeds off of that. Right, if you're suffering, it's getting big meals. And most of the time, of course, people don't believe that. It's not their experience. They think that voice in the head is them, or at least on their side, or trying to take care of them. And then something like this happens, and we get to see, oh no, it's not trying to take care of me. It's trying to make me miserable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid of it. And that's the scary thing, the drama of it.
Yes, it can make a person afraid. So that's what people talk about. You know, you wake up, it wakes you up at 3 a.m., the icy hand around your spine, right?
Whoa. Yeah.
What about? It's going to, what? Yeah, it has the ability to terrify people because it's been doing that to us since we were little tiny kids, right? It's been telling scary stories and predicting horrible things and focusing on the worst possible scenarios and outcomes, and we're afraid of it. Yeah, we don't need to be. And you know, Stephanie, the thing that's so interesting, if it, you know, just try this one on for size. So we talk about ego and fear being one thing. Ego is fear, fear is ego, right? It talks fear, it makes us afraid, and it is the feeling of fear that we have when we feel it. We feel ego's presence in us, right? And so to just have watch and see if you can get a sense of that the voice says something scary, and then it is afraid of what has just been said. And here's the power in that. If you can watch that, what you can realize is you are the awareness that is watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's like one voice talking to another voice. So one says, and the other goes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're watching it. What you mm-hmm. are is actually not afraid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you're extremely aware of your body and what it's doing, and you're curious about these things. And
yep.
if that part of myself wanted to, I don't have the verbiage for this, but to say, okay, tumor, and I don't think this is like a cancerous tumor. I don't. But if it grows, you don't want something growing in your brain, basically. So if I wanted to say, okay, tumor that I am looking at and being curious about, can you just stay that size? And at the same time, let me just finish this. At the same time, not give it any of the energy of the hungry ghost, not give it the energy that it wants.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I don't know. I don't, you know, you hear all kinds of things, right? I remember the guy, can't remember what his name is now, but cured himself of cancer by laughing, right? And you hear miracle stories, you know, where suddenly somebody just goes into complete remission and they can't find any, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But those are not ordinary stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so here would be my best encouragement. Rather than giving it any attention whatsoever,
mm-hmm.
you give all your focus to Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
To taking
yep.
care of her, on every level, and being with her, and just turning attention to having mm-hmm. the most loving, kind, happy, grateful life that you can possibly have. And
mm-hmm.
and if there's a tumor in there that's growing or not growing, or you know, it kind of doesn't matter. It is
mm-hmm.
life is it's that place that I always get to. You know, you could be hit by a bus before that tumor does anything to you. And so
mm-hmm.
and you're not going to spend your life worrying about buses, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my encouragement. Just make it all about the human being. Yeah.
Okay.
And then whatever happens, happens.
Yep. I like that. I like that.
Good.
Description.
Good.
Yep.
Excellent.
That's what I'm going to do.
Let me know. Let me know.
I will. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Appreciate it. All righty. Bye bye.
So happy.
So happy.
Janie? And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi there, this is Kate calling from Seattle.
Hey, Kate.
Hello. I am right on theme tonight, so I'm calling. I have been very identified and having quite the workshop, and I wanted to, I've been working with that, and I wanted to show up tonight and practice, and I have, like, my identification has been leading me to let some important people in my life down, and including myself, so I just really wanted to be here.
Uh-huh. And, yes, here is where we want to be, huh? And so, Kate, what? Tell me about the identification and focusing on and leaving you out. Can you say a little more about that?
Leaving me out? No, I said, well, I'm not sure I'm understanding what you're asking, but my being identified, I have been... Well, the first conversation was really helpful. I was, you know, familiar, like that pattern of being identified and then feeling bad and kind of moving from frying pan to frying pan. Mm-hmm. But there's this other piece, which is like the feeling bad was such a familiar voice for such a long time. And now ego tries this thing where it has this, like, fake caring for myself, which is, you know, you're doing fine, you're doing the best you can, and it can sort of be this gentle way of talking me out of keeping commitments, I've realized.
Uh-huh. Boy. Yeah. That is so important to see, isn't it? Because so that faux compassion, right? You know, one of the things that we talk about is that egocentricity, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, learns the lingo, right? So mm-hmm. I'll often say to people, you know, if you're an alcoholic, the thing you want to know is that ego I is going to the meetings with you. Right? Because it's right there to figure out, okay, so she's going to try that, so I can do that. Okay, they do this, then I can say that. And it, since it's sneaky and we're not, it's really easy for us to get fooled by it. And especially with something like that, when because it's true. It's true you're doing the best that you can do. Everybody is.
Right.
Everybody is all the time. But what you've noticed is that's not, the words are right, but the sentiment isn't.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a
exactly.
Setup. Yeah.
It is an absolute setup. And I kind of needed to be hit over the head a bit to see it. And so I've been going through it today because it's emotional to come out of it, I think. Like, I've been recording and working with the mentor, and I think, you know, we were talking about the intellectual understanding of, like, not really believing that people are mad or that you're not good enough, but then there's the ego body part that's believing it at the same time. And
yeah, and that's why right at that juncture, that's the one that we talk about, that it is critical not to let any of those voices of self-hate in, because, and clearly you've held them at bay to a fairly large degree in order to see what you've seen. right? Because what you were meant to do is, whenever anything like that happens, is just to collapse under the weight of, you've done it wrong, you're a bad person, see, blah, 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 blah. And not allowing that to happen is what enables us to stay present enough to see what is actually true. And as you say, what is actually true is you got bamboozled.
Yeah.
And at that point, we can just say, yeah, boy, sure did. Got bamboozled. Wow. All right. That's a big one to see through. Yeah. Was it a good time?
No. No.
Really, no.
It's not feeling great.
Yeah. And yet, really glad to see it. Because,
absolutely.
You know, because the thing that we get to with that is, where was it going to take you? You know, I kind of alluded to this earlier, I think, in the conversation with Michael. You know, we have this false sense of knowing what's going on. You know, I know what's going on in my life. I get it, I can see it. And at a certain point, we get to realize, no, I don't, actually. I have no idea what's going on. How I'm being manipulated, how I'm being set up, how I'm being worked, right? By a master manipulator, which is what ego I is, right? And mm-hmm. So, as painful as it is when we wake up to these things, when we see clearly how bamboozled we've been, I'm seeing it now before I go over that cliff. Because
yeah.
And going over the cliff was inevitable if I did.
Yeah, that did, like, amidst it all today, one of the things that stayed with me with the mentor was the awareness of what that might have done to me a few years ago, or, you know, like, and so I did feel very grateful to be in it and to be able to actually stay in it and stay with it.
Yes, and to see what that bamboozle would have done to you if you hadn't recognized it for what it was. So
yeah.
As it continued to manipulate you, well, you're doing the best you can, Kate. You're fine. You're doing fine. You're doing the best that you can. You know, you don't have to, it's okay. And that's my Barco Lounger thing. You know, just, you don't feel like exercising, or you don't feel like cooking healthy food, or you don't feel like, drinking more water. I'm fine. You're doing fine. And all the time, actually, we're not. And the most unfine part of all is that I am in that intimate relationship with that voice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so creepy when we really catch on to it, how much it talks to us in that pseudo-mentor kind of way.
I am starting to feel a little excitement about working with that and going up against that and and the phrase that keeps coming to me is the compassionate discipline of
what is our expression? You can always do more than ego says you can, and you need to do less than ego says you should.
Mm-hmm.
And we're always finding that line, right? Because, you know, your authentic nature is success. Your authentic nature is well-being, is happiness. And that's what we're constantly looking for, looking to for guidance.
Yeah.
And it is exciting because what we're saying is, I'm going to learn to hear the still small voice.
Yeah, it's interesting that there is
it'll be back.
I guess it was sort of the idea that ego wants to make it feel like once you've heard the still small voice, you can always hear the still small voice, and that it's not something that you might be more in touch with than at other times. And that it's a process of always listening for the still small voice.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, and that's not a light because switch that got turned on.
That's exactly right. And it's subtle. It is so subtle. And there is so much against it, right? The ego voices, of course, are clamoring and yammering constantly. They've always got information for us. They're always want to talk to us about everything that is going on from their perspective. And that still small voice is just subtle.
Yeah.
We have to get really still and present to hear it. And of course, it's not a hearing it, but it's the closest that the one that I think is most I don't know where it's most like this is to be hungry and to be able to look to your body to find out what your body wants. Right, that we're so accustomed to looking to the mind for what the mind wants. And it's that same process. You know, the body doesn't demand, but it always knows what's good for it.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I'm going to sign up for that too, the cooking class.
Good. Yes, exactly.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Very good.
I really needed this. Thank you very, very much.
You are so welcome. You're courageous.
Thank you.
All right. Gassho.
Gassho.
Thanks for joining us, Kate. That was fabulous, Sherry. Very inspiring.
Mm. Yeah. That's so important, isn't it, Michael? I mean, that's what we're doing here, right? It's a couple of aspects of it. One, we're seeing how absolutely alike we are, and we do grow and strengthen from one another's courage. You know, I hear somebody else doing it, I see somebody else doing it, I resonate with that, I can feel it in me. I know I can do it too.
Yeah. And I was reflecting early from our conversation earlier about the person who was training at the monastery but not really training, and I think you needed to ask them to leave. And it's like what it felt like. Like I was doing things, but I wasn't doing them. I was practicing, but not practicing. You know what I mean?
Yes. Oh, exactly so. Yeah, going through the motions.
Yeah. Going through the motions.
Mm-hmm. Going through the motions and listening to a different story. Yeah. And you know, the place that, of course, that we can usually catch on to it is there's no joy. There's no juice.
Yeah.
Right? When we're really present and we're all in, we're even if it's hard, even if what we're doing is hard, there is, as Kate just mentioned, there's a sense of excitement about it. I'm here. This is real. This is my life, and I'm living it.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's me. Can you hear Elise from Pennsylvania?
Yes.
Yes.
Elise?
Yes, Elise. Hi, Sherry.
Hey. Hi.
It's been a minute for sure.
Yeah. A few.
I've tried several times in the past to log in, and I had my like program, the number programmed in, and where it does the number, and then it does the code right after. And what I realized with that is it somehow keeps me from joining the queue, even though it lets me join the queue. Like, it'll say you've added to the queue, but then it never showed up. And so this time, tonight, I actually did the number by itself and then entered in the code. So I don't know.
And here you are.
And here I am. Calling from Pennsylvania instead of California. I'm Ventura, right?
Talking to us in Squim.
I know.
In Squim, Washington. Yeah.
So many changes. My call that I was trying to make in May was that night. I had just gotten some pathology results, and I was calling in about that. And then it's interesting because here I am about 6 weeks later and on the call, and I'm 1 week post-surgery. I found a lump in my breast back in May, and I've been on a crazy six-week journey of invasive lobular carcinoma and just had a double mastectomy last week.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I think for me, part of this is this suffering. The calls earlier I really related to was, you know, there's been a lot of what's wrong with me, you know, health-wise, and focusing on that from, you know, being at the retreat, nothing's wrong with me, and having my appendix perforate. I still...
None of us will ever forget that, Elise. That was kind of a showstopper. Yeah.
No, really, there's something wrong. In December, I was diagnosed with lupus, and it kind of answered a lot of questions of ongoing, just low energy and all these things.
Diagnosed with what?
That's the answer.
With
lupus.
With what? Oh,
lupus.
Dear. Good Lord.
Autoimmune. Yeah. And I was like, okay, that's really... all a lot of these symptoms, a lot of these things that are going on, and now I know what to do about it. And I did start taking medication; it helped. And then in April, I started on hormone replacement therapy, and holy cow, the mood got better, the energy, and by mid-May, I was feeling really great for the first time in a long time. And then I found this lump, and got to stop taking all your hormones because it's estrogen and progesterone positive cancer and the story of all of it. And so here I am where I'm really feeling here sitting like angry, kind of. I'm like, I feel like it's all my fault somehow, always thinking something's wrong. And then also like my body is betraying me. Like here I have all these things and I can't get implants because I have lupus, and I just don't quite know where to go with all of this.
Yeah.
Other than
like a,
I also
a
am really grateful. Yeah, it's a plot. Like, what the hell?
Yeah. Yeah, I can't. Yeah. No matter which way I turn, I just get slapped again. It's very hard not to take that personally. Yeah. Because this kind of thing isn't happening to everybody.
No.
Yeah.
It's not.
And the anger, understandable. But where does that leave? Here's this woman, and she just keeps getting one piece of bad news after the other, and the anger, while it's understandable, my sense is that she, the one who's actually having all these things happen to her kind of gets left out as somebody gets angry.
Yeah. There's a lot of fear, too.
Yeah, of course there is. How could there not be? And so just to, that's my question, you know, what happens? I mean, here she is going through this. Everybody's there having whatever emotions they're having, but it's kind of, what about her?
Yeah. I think she's just feeling overwhelmed and stuck and afraid and
yeah,
not quite sure how to best take care of herself. You know, I am surrounded by people taking care of me, like my parents. I'm up here for a couple weeks, and there's a lot of outside support, so much to be grateful for. But I'm not sure how to move forward.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's wonderful that people are there. And it's wonderful that they love you. And I'm sure you have, medical people who are doing everything they can to take the best care of you that they can possibly manage, right? And there's just a person in there who is just getting hit after hit after hit.
Yeah.
And so, do you feel like you have tools? I mean, do you have a recording listening practice so that she can talk and be heard and that sort of thing?
I don't really. I had tried over years, and I feel like I didn't. I haven't, but I'm certainly open to that. You know, trying to commit to something I can do.
Yes. And that's, excuse me, that is other than medical appointments and advice and information and all of those kinds of things that just speak to the heart and what I can only guess is just crushing disappointment and overwhelm and
there's so many things in the future, and all you can do is wait for the next result, and then it kind of directs the next path, so it's not in my control at all in that sense.
Yeah.
And so that's a big struggle, where letting go and kind of coming to peace with each moment that's happening and trying to be as present as possible in that.
Which, of course, you know, for those of us doing an awareness practice, we would say, well, that is the point. But this is a hard way to come at it, right? And yet, Michael alluded to it a little while ago. My teacher would say, you know, when you're drowning, it's your very best opportunity to learn to swim. It's never been more important. And very often we come to that with awareness practice. You know, we can avoid the person and kind of overlook her or him in the pursuit of the future and our goals and our plans and all of this, and then suddenly something happens that brings us to the only thing that is true and real is that human being and being there, being here, being present in each moment for that person. So would it be helpful if you, I'm thinking maybe you could write into the guest master and we could get some kind of a crash course in recording and listening so that you can get started with some in the moment support for that person?
Yes, I think that would be helpful.
Would that be good?
I hope so. That would be good.
Okay.
I've done some in the past, right. And that would be, yes. So right into the guest master? Right into the guest master?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and just mention that we spoke about this. Now, we're getting ready. I actually get in the car bright and early tomorrow morning and drive to the Bay Area, California, to start a retreat. But even as that's going on, if you write to the guest master, we can get the ball rolling.
Okay, Sherry, I can do that. I was trying to come to that retreat. Wouldn't that have been interesting? I'd find that it filled up before I could sign up.
Well, here's the deal. If you had come to that retreat and something, you know, you had had something the equivalent of the burst appendix, I would have gotten superstitious. So, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. No.
All right. Keep taking the best care of yourself that you can, and we'll get some things lined up so that, you know, again, you've got all this support, on that level, but to have the kind of, when you're alone in the middle of the night, and it's just you. And that person who is so frightened and disappointed and all of that, to have something for her that she can turn to all the time. That's what we want to get going. Yeah.
I would like that. Thank you.
All right.
Help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank
Good.
You so much.
Good. All right. So okay. More soon. All right.
Okay.
Thanks.
More soon. Okay. All right. Gotcha.
Thank you for joining us, Elise and Sherry. I really appreciate the kindness and compassion and generosity of the practice. It's amazing.
Yeah. Life is just, you know, it's the Ram Dass, right? It's the Ram Dass. It's all so very big. How can we not hold hands as we go through it? You know, we just so need one another.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
All
and
right,
Jerry,
sir.
It's nearly the top
so.
Of the hour here.
Yes. I think so. I think we better say we'll see you all soon, but not next week, right? So
yes.
Because you and I will both be on retreat. And so will Good News and everybody else. So the week after that, I don't know what the date is, but we'll be back a week after next.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So no show next week, July 21, and then we'll be back on the air on July 28.
Perfect. And you know what else, Michael? Mercury
Tell
will
me.
Be out of retrograde.
Oh, good.
So I'm thinking everything is going to get a lot better. Yeah. All right. Well, everybody take care of yourselves. Travel safely, Michael. See you soon.
Will do.
And all right. Gosho.
Thank you. Gosho.